or you could change your relationship status. Fellas, we do not recommend proposing via text message. You could also change your career, change your vehicle, or you could change just about anything. But maybe this week, you could use 46 characters to change someone's life. Think about it, pray about it, and use your 46 characters for a change.
The reason I wanted to show you that video is because next week's a very critical week in this series, the season series, because we're really talking next week about redemption or restoration, the season of when Christ changes us. And what I've been praying for during this series is that people's lives will be transformed, both those who are followers, but even more so those who may not be connected with God yet or may not know him personally yet. And I'm praying that next week is the week where we can paint the picture of what Jesus Christ has come and done for us, and that people could experience the season of transformation, the season of change, the season of restoration, that our God is a redeemer, he brings back. And so I am praying for some of the people that maybe in your life that you want to invite or bring, that you've been praying for, that you've been pleading with God to show up with, and maybe next week's the week that God's going to open a door for them to come and experience God's grace in a whole new, different way. And so we as a church are working hard to make next week transformative, and I hope that you will invite some people to come with you so that they can experience that transformation, if that makes sense this morning. Over the last few months, one of the things that you may have noticed is we are in a season of storms in our world, like not just like personal storms. I'm talking about like real weather storms. We just got through the Hurricane Florence, and maybe you ever noticed how much media coverage that actually got? That was like the biggest media coverage story I've seen in a long time. I don't know if you knew this, but 8 trillion gallons of water fell in North Carolina. I mean, I can't even factor that amount, but 8 trillion gallons of water, 36 inches of rain in some parts, and some parts even more than that. There was storm surge, and some articles said that there was a year's worth of rain in a couple days for North Carolina. And I'm sure you probably have more stats than I do on that. But you were watching. We were watching from New York this huge. Did you see the clouds and the way it was spinning and watch it build to a Category 4 and then shrink back to Category 3, then 2, then tropical, and saw it, you know, the 12 million different way paths it might take through the Carolinas, where is it exactly hitting, and we watched that storm. But I got here's where I'm at this morning. It's a whole different ball game watching it from the state of New York than living in the middle of the storm. A few years ago, I was down at a relative's house down in Florida. They had a condo on the ocean, and so you can go look over the beach and look over the ocean. And my wife and I were the only ones there at that point. We were sitting down that night and looking out, and you could see the storm coming in, right? I mean, and if you've ever seen a storm come in over the ocean, it's pretty majestic, pretty powerful, pretty amazing. The winds are kicking up. You can see the palm trees swaying, you know, and there's a little golf little course in front, so you see things blowing across the golf course, because you can see so far. You see lightning, right? I mean, it's like crack. Well, the lightning's not cracking, the thunder's cracking, but it's like bright, and then you hear it, and you see it all across. It was just like a powerful storm coming in from the ocean, I gotta say this too, I felt a whole lot more safe inside the condo than walking in the storm. I love sitting there, you know, with the windows closed, the storm doors closed, you know, just watching it come in, because I felt like, yeah, it's someone else's storm. We were, I don't know about you, but my kids love snow days. They kind of look forward to them. I think every kid looks forward to them, maybe teachers as well. Parents, I'm not so sure. But the snow, you know, and it's one thing to be at home in front of a fireplace with a coffee and a good book, looking out your windows and seeing the storm, the snow fall inches per hour, right? It's kind of peaceful, actually, seeing the trees kind of starting to weigh down, and you're just sitting there, and you have some snacks, and you may have some tea, but you're enjoying the storm. It's a whole nother thing driving back from like a place like Buffalo or driving from Rochester and having that tension of, I need to get back, but it's piling. Like, the snow plows aren't even out when they're closing. You ever been driving when they're closing roads and you're still trying to get back? It's a whole different thing to watch on Facebook the falls in Montour a month ago, I forget when all that rain came. Do you remember? You're familiar with the rain that we got? You saw Montour or Havana Glen or the Watkins Glen, and watch. I mean, there's an amazement there. There's a power there. There's like, wow, that is, but it's a whole different thing to be down in your basement pumping water out of it. See, some of you have been there. Some of you know that storm. But do you know what I'm saying? A storm is, to be in the middle of a storm, walking the golf course when it's thunderstorming, or driving through it, or standing out when hail's starting to come down, or being on a ball field, it's a whole different feeling to be out in the middle of a storm than to be watching the storm in a safe place. And for many of you this morning, I think you feel more like you're in the middle of a storm, trying to, you know the phrase white knuckling? White knuckling is when you're like holding on real tight to the steering wheel, or you're just like, you have anxiety, you have like, you're in your basement pumping water, you're like, is this ever going to stop? Is this going to, the wall's going to close? You know, you're white knuckling. It's a whole different deal to white knuckle than it is to find in the middle of a storm this idea of peace. And so we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. Starting in verse 23. Matthew was written by one of the disciples, and he is writing to a Jewish audience. So these people that were talked about in the Old Testament about the promises of God, the promised land, and also the promise of a Savior coming who's going to make everything right. He's writing to these people. Oh, phone call. Okay, well, I won't answer that one for you. And he's writing to them, trying to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah, all right? Which maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, Messiah. Jesus is the one who's going to make everything right. He's coming. They're in the middle of their own storms, both as a nation. They're enslaved. They're in their own struggles. And Matthew's like, listen, There's a guy named Jesus who came to rescue, and he came to help us out in those storms. And so, and he calls these 12 disciples to follow him, to grow in him. And this story is really about a personal experience between him and the 12 disciples. So I'll read the story, what happens, and then we'll talk through the implications of what Jesus and Matthew are teaching us. Then, verse 23 of chapter 8, then he got into the boat, talking about Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Verse 24 says, suddenly a furious storm. Here's the picture. These fishermen, there's a few fishermen in the disciples, people who have grown up on the lake, grown up on this lake. They have sailed that same journey probably before. They know how to work with water, but suddenly a furious storm comes up on them. You know, you ever been, you're just kind of doing, you don't even pay attention to your phone. This is before the phone kind of beeped. You're just kind of like doing life, and all of a sudden a storm comes rolling in. You weren't expecting it. Like you're going a direction, and you're just like, everything's good, the sunshine, and all of a sudden the clouds start coming in. Let me just change it a little bit. You ever been doing that in life where things are going, functioning well, you're just going along, you know, nothing's bad, and all of a sudden, suddenly, all at once, there's a phone call that happens, there's something that breaks in the house, there's all of a sudden a storm comes. Like, I don't know this, but I'm thinking that most storms don't have warnings for us in life. Most storms don't have like a month out, hey, by the way, you're going to be getting a storm in a month. Most of our emotional storms come suddenly, like all of a sudden. And we can think we know what we're doing. We think we're making progress in life. We think that the fishermen, they were going. They were getting to their next destination. Everything was going. And all of a sudden, a furious storm comes up on the lake. And this is what it says. This is how it describes it. So that the waves swept over the boat. I'm just thinking that's not good. I mean, just because Matthew said it, I'm thinking if there's waves coming over top of the boat and water's getting in the boat, that's not good. And here's the other part that probably paints an even bigger picture. These disciples who are fishermen go to Jesus and say, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Now think about that. The tension in that phrase, we're going to, these guys have been in storms before. They've survived storms before. They've been fishing and storms have come up. But this storm, there's waves sweeping over. And even the ones that are fishermen are like, ah, don't worry about this. I've seen this before. We'll get through this. They're like, we are going to drown. You know, it's not like we may. We are going to drown. We're not surviving this one. This is the storm of all storms, and we are not making it through. And now, this is where we get down to our storms. We tend to feel that way, and rightfully so sometimes. We're not going to make it through this one. We're not surviving. I'm not surviving this storm. This storm, we are going to drown. We are going to go bankrupt. We're not going to survive marriage-wise. I'm not going to survive job-wise. I can't deal with this anymore. We're going to drown. And I guess the question becomes, it's not if the storm comes. You realize this, right? It's not if the storm's going to come. The storms, hurricanes have been coming for a long time. It's not like, a hurricane came. Hurricanes have been coming for hundreds, thousands of years, right? I mean, it shouldn't take us by surprise that a hurricane comes. The surprise is how do we manage? How do we handle? How do we wrestle through when we're in a storm in our life? When we feel like we're going to drown? When we feel like things are crashing in, the walls are moving in? You ever feel that? Like things are. This is my best description of it. It's like playing, if you play the game Jenga. Jenga is this block game that you have with kids. It builds like three, then three, and it turns up and goes up and builds like a high tower. You feel like that next piece, the next moment, the next wave that comes over the side of the ship, everything's going to come collapsing down. And we all will experience storms. We will all have a season of storms. I got to lean into, just because you're a follower of Jesus does not mean that you will not have storms. Listen, Jesus is in the boat and they're having a storm. Jesus is right next to them. And the presence of Jesus in your life does not mean that you are, you're given a get out of jail card free card to get away from storms. You will, the Bible says, in this life you will have trouble. In this life, I spent a little moment on this. If you believe that if you follow Jesus enough that he's going to take every problem from you, when you have problems, you're going to drift away from Jesus because he's disappointed you. Jesus does not say that. In fact, probably the other truth is a greater truth of we may have more. We may face more different difficulties in following Jesus. The test may become a little differently. In this life, people will disappoint you. Financial struggles may come. You will have members in your family who will die. I mean, I know that's blunt, But it's also reality that they will get sick. We will face storms. What we do in the storm is the important part. But listen, what happens? Jesus. Do you get that? But Jesus. I always look for the word but. But Jesus was sleeping. You ever feel that way? In the middle of your storm, you're praying. You're like, man, God, I don't know if I want to go through the storm. I can't handle this storm. Can we just end the storm? But you feel like Jesus is sleeping, like he's someplace, but not where he should be in your mind. You're like, man, Jesus, can you just show up a little bit? You're powerful. You know, I talked about a $10,000 check in the mail, right? I wish that happened every week. Don't you? I mean, I don't know. Any of you would be like, I'll turn down a $10,000. You hope. There are moments where God shows up that way, but there are probably a lot more moments when God is kind of silent, when he's waiting. Do you ever wonder this? And especially in this story. Like, if there's a storm on the boat, how can Jesus sleep through it? Like, you know, the waves are turning and the boat's rising and falling. The fishermen are maybe screaming. And yet Jesus is sleeping. Here's a picture. Like the disciples talking about this, be like, who's going down to wake him up? You know, who's gonna get him like out of like? Maybe they even talk about like, how's he still asleep? We are stirred up. But is it possible Jesus is still at peace? That we're like. This storm is the biggest storm I've ever seen. And it could be that God can still be at, he's not worried about it like you are. Listen, I'm not saying he doesn't love you. He cares for you and loves you. But the storm does not worry him. Listen to what it says. They say, Lord, save us. Good phrase. You know, we can pray that prayer. We are going to drown. This is what Jesus says. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? You ever have these when you ask two questions that are the same but different? This is what this is. Why are you not trusting me? The way it shows up in your life is fear. So listen to what it says, basically. If you're not trusting Jesus, fear is a natural repercussion of that. If you're trusting Jesus, if you're like, I know he's going to carry me through this storm one way or the other, fear is a natural, it's driven out. Why are we so afraid? When we're in a storm, fear is a natural repercussion of a storm. It's like it builds in us. When you're white-knuckling, you're white-knuckling because of fear. When you're facing financial struggle, you're thinking you're going under because of fear and what it could possibly do. When you're any kind of struggle that you're in, any kind of storm that you're in, fear is what rises in you. Faith is what brings that fear rising down. It's the antidote. You get sick and you want antibiotic, you know, you need to bring that virus down, you get antibiotic. Faith is the reversal of fear. We live in a fear-driven world. All the media hype is about driving fear. We have fear in our soul. Right now, we fear something. And I'm just telling you, when we have faith in a person named Jesus, fear is driven out. Do you know the number one command in Scripture? Many would think, it would make, do not murder is a great command, all right? But it's not the number one command that's repeated over and over again. You know, adultery is a good command that he gives, but it's not the one that he repeats over and over again. You know the one he repeats over and over again to his people who are following him? Do not be afraid. Number one, the one that's repeated. I'm not saying it's, all the other ones are good, but he repeats this one over and over. I think we all have this tendency of letting fear build in our souls. And he constantly comes back to Joshua, to Moses, to every one of his followers. Do not be afraid. And this is what he follows it up with. The phrase is, for I am with you. All right, so just understand what the phrase is. He says, don't let the fear take over. Not because he's taking the storm out of your life, but because Jesus is on your boat. All right, so this is what he's saying to the disciples. All right, disciples, or the waves are coming and all that. He's, do you not? There's like seven chapters before this. Now, obviously, they don't know there's chapters, but they've walked with Jesus for a period of time. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him feed people. They've seen his power on display in multiple ways. All, you know, like he's just doing all these great things. And when they get to the storm, and see, at that point, you understand what's happening? It's great watching Jesus show up when we're on the outside, when we're safe. Does that make sense? The disciples, when they're seeing the healing, they're like, they're on the outside. They're in the condo looking over the ocean. They're in their house next to the fire when the snowstorm's coming. They're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Wow, Jesus, that's pretty good. You know, and it's okay. It's okay then. But all of a sudden, as you've seen Jesus do this, 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 and this, and this, all of a sudden, when you're in the middle of a storm, all of a sudden you start losing faith. You start doubting a little bit. You start getting frustrated that Jesus is asleep, like he should be doing something at that very moment. When all we have to realize is the same Jesus who healed, who fed the 5,000, is the same Jesus who's asleep on your boat, and that it's the storm will pass. Jesus is at peace. Maybe we should be at peace. Maybe the picture that's a better picture of what we should do in a storm is that no matter where what storm you're facing, if Jesus is in your boat, you're in the condo. That didn't make sense to you, did it? If Jesus is in your boat, you're in front of your fire with your hot chocolate. When Jesus is with you, you are in the Bible. The Psalms talk about it this way: He is my rock. He is my rock. What that picture is like. There's a storm passing, and David, whoever's writing, is in the rock. He's in a cave, looking out over the storm, like, wow, the storm's passing, but I'm in my rock. I'm in my refuge. I'm in my safe place. The storm's still coming through, but he's in his rock. He doesn't say the rock is what he provides. The rock is God. He is my rock. He is my refuge. Refuge is a place of safety. A refuge is a place you run when the storm's coming. So when in the middle of the storm, in the middle of things hitting you, where do we go? We go to our rock. And when we place our faith in the person of Jesus, in the middle of our storms, we will be, the wind will hit us. We will still get wet from the waves. The hail may still come, but we can stand firm because Jesus is still solid. He is in our boat. This is what it goes on to say. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. He didn't have to calm the storm, and he may not calm the storm in our life. But what he's showing is that he has the authority to do whatever he wants to do. He is in control. The reason why we can stand in this place of safety, in this rock or refuge, is because Jesus has authority over the storm. He has authority over all that's happening in our world. He is in control. We can trust him. Listen, faith is trust, but it's not based on our faith that we handle the storms. It's based on the person that we have faith in. That he has authority. That he is good. That he is going to show up when he wants to show up. And this is how it ends. The men, the disciples, were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." When we walk on the backside of a storm, you look back, and then you're wowed by it. When you walk outside the storm and you look back, you're like, Jesus is pretty amazing on that one. Jesus showed up on that one. Jesus provided on that one. Jesus brought healing on that one. Jesus becomes, we become even more awed and more amazed at what he does and who he is. I don't know what storm that you're facing today. I don't know what you feel like you're getting hit with. Some of you are at the point where you feel like your boat's going down. And I know this message seems like it's pretty obvious, or we talk about this Jesus guy a lot. But he's in every season of our life, he's the only one, he's the one we want there. He's the center. He's the author of life. And so I'll keep pointing to him. Keep trying to encourage you to whatever season you're engaging in this with this guy named Jesus, that you're like, you trust him. That listen to this phrase, this verse. It says Philippians 4, 6, 7. I'm gonna end with this. It says, do not be anxious about anything. All right, don't let fear rile you up. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every storm, by prayer and petition, just talking to Jesus, present your request to God. And this is what it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know what my picture is? That the storms are hitting, and all of a sudden this is like the formula. This is the way we find peace in the middle of your storm. Is we start being like, I don't want fear. I want peace. And I'm gonna just come to my Savior. I'm gonna come to Jesus. I'm gonna talk to him and let his peace transcends all understanding, which we can't even define, which I can't even draw a picture of for you. This idea of like in the midst of a storm, like you are good. In the midst of everything's collapsing around you, you are good. That transcends all you can't intellectualize it. Will guard your hearts and minds. It will protect you in Christ Jesus. That's the promise. In the middle of the storm. But there is the part of coming to Jesus by prayer and petition. Like, all right, Jesus, I'm struggling here. Going down below deck, you know, while he's sleeping. And be like, Jesus, I'm struggling. Can you walk me through this storm? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I don't know what storms people are hitting against this morning. But we know that you're the peace in the midst of it. That you're the one that is our rock and our refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. That you say, do not fear because you are with us. That your presence is the most important thing through any storm that we walk. So we come to you, we rely on you, we trust you. And we make you the focus of our attention in our life. So God, do a work in us. Bring peace this morning. Just settle on us that you are in control, that you have authority. May we be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us.